The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Plenty more, and stay tuned and keep your comments coming in. There are plenty of them in relation to the rugby and everything else as well. But I'm delighted to say at just after 8 on this Friday morning, Louise Galvin joins us on the line. Morning, Louise.
Morning.
We might get stuck into the back three maybe to begin with, because we've been talking a fair bit about the forwards with Quinny there a few minutes ago. So there weren't that many in the team that really impressed last week, but I know there's been a bit of a shake-up and a call for a shake-up with the back three. It looks like it may not happen, in fact. But Earl's possibly most under threat, with maybe Larmer and others looking to come in there. What's your take, Louise, on the back three and your depth chart almost on that?
Yeah, I suppose, look, if there's going to be changes in the rest of the team, you don't want Andy Farrell making changes wholesale. You want some element of a settled team. So I don't see a lot of changes coming in the back three. I mean, if you were to rate the lads from last week, Keith Earls probably would be disappointed. Well, he would be disappointed considering the standards that he has set for himself. But he's such a consistent performer for Ireland on both sides of the ball, but particularly in that Joe Schmidt era, defensively, he was such a rock that I think he certainly deserves a chance to rectify his substandard, I suppose, performance last week. He looked a bit rattled by like a drop ball earlier in the game and never really got into it. I guess if you compare with James Lowe on the other wing, Lowe is someone who, if the ball isn't coming to him, he will naturally come and look for it. And he's just naturally more robust and enjoys those physical challenges. So he's maybe a bit more adept at working his way into a game if the ball isn't coming out to him than maybe Keith Earls. And then, look, to be honest, I think in Hugo Keenan, we found a gem for ourselves. Excuse me. I mean, we all said, you know, there's been a position up for grabs there in full back. And a lot of people talk about the defensive qualities of a good full back. And Rob Kearney often didn't get the praise that he deserved until he was gone. But he was one of the most capped full backs. I think he was the most capped full back in Test rugby. And we're asking someone to fill his shoes. And I think Hugo Keenan has strung a few very consistent performances together, albeit in the wing last year in the first two games. But he's done particularly well. And I think he certainly needs to continue in that position for both Leinster and Ireland in order to give him that level of experience and bring him up to, around the same level as someone as Rob Kearney.
It's interesting what you say about James Lowe there, that he can get himself into the game. He likes the physical side of it a little bit more. And that's hugely positive when it comes to the attack. Is there a little bit too much eagerness in defence sometimes from James Lowe? Maybe I'm just focusing in a little bit too much on one of the Welsh tries from last week, where perhaps he jumps into the tackle a little bit too quickly.
Yeah, and I suppose on a little bit of that is timing as well, because you'll see once or twice Keenan does it where he shuts it down, but he manages to get man and ball and prevent the offload or prevent the pass. So, I mean, as a back three player, often you are left with that decision. Do I jam in now and try to shut it down? And it might not be so much as, oh, he's just eager for the physicality exchange. But when you do it, you have to get your timing right, or you have to make the decision, do I have enough help coming from the inside that actually we can concede a little bit of space and a little bit of position here and shut this down on the wing rather than jam in? So maybe he is eager to make that big hit, but as I say, Keenan did it. He just got his timing right, which is obviously something we want to see. But I think Earl starts again because maybe with James Lowe, we don't have that 100% solidity at the back. And Keenan's doing really, really well. I think he's a fantastic footballer. I think he made a huge difference even in that Munster-Leinster game. I mean, that I know we talk about Ross Burns' kick and Larmer finishing it, but Keenan's, the way he collected that ball and got that offload away, I'm pretty sure it was Keith Earls coming in to tackle him. It shows just such experience for a man of his age that I think Earls stays there because he allows someone like Keenan to flourish, because he is generally so consistent beside him on the wing. And then as well, if you're looking for impact off the bench, Jordan Larmer is that player. And I know it's an awful tag to get, but if you want someone to come in when defences are getting a bit tired, when your line speed is a bit reduced and the game maybe opens up a little bit, then I think Jordan Larmer is that player to come in and have that bit of an X factor and have that half break chance. A little bit unlucky, one of, I suppose, the black marks against Hugo last week was maybe when you should have skipped past out to the wing, and I think he hit, I think it was Larmer, and there ended up being a knock on where there was an opportunity there where the game was just opening up near the end of the game. But again, these are all, I suppose, works in progress as well.
Yeah, and it's less likely that France are going to kick the ball as much as England. They'll probably run a little bit, so maybe it is a case of horses of course in that way. Do we, just what we're talking about Lowe there, are we using his boot enough, Louise, like looking at some of the range he can get off that left boot, and I mean both from open play and from dead ball as well, is that a weapon that we could utilise a bit more?
Yeah, it certainly is, again, with the fact that he's left-footed again, going back to having Rob Kearney on the team as well. It was a nice balance to have. I guess as a team, we're often, I suppose, there's complaints that we kick too much, so for adding in another person that we're asking to kick, I mean, it's I suppose it's situational, because if we need to get out of trouble, fair enough, we can use his boot, but we know a lot of his skill is in that confrontational contact area of the game, so I wouldn't like to see James Lowe turn into necessarily someone who's who's kicking more than anything else. I think we've enough of that in the squad at the moment. I think Hugo Keating kick well, obviously Murray, we're going to use his box kicks a lot, and whoever is playing at 10, whoever is lining out as well.
Yeah. What's the other question of the week has been who the second best out half in Ireland is.
Look, we're not going to make that decision based on last weekend. I think this has been probably talked to death. It'll be interesting to see if Sexton is fit to play. I would imagine Billy Burns will start will start on the bench, will be on the bench again. If not, it'll be interesting. But again, Andy Farrell tends to have a little bit of loyalty there, and I'm not sure if you throw the baby out with the bathwater. If Sexton doesn't start, I would see him giving Burns a chance and Ross Byrne coming into the bench. That didn't really directly answer your question. I'm always a big Jack Harty fan, to be honest. I think he's been given a bit of a rough time of it since the World Cup last year. I think he brings a bit of variety. Another thing we should be careful of is, you know, a lot of people are already talking about Joey Carberry. He's had such a prolonged injury since the World Cup, since before the World Cup. Like, just let him get back playing at Munster. Let him get in a few minutes under his belt. Let's not launch him straight into the national squad and put, from the media anyway, a load of pressure that we need him back ASAP because we need him for the next World Cup. He's not there at the moment and will likely be end of 2021. Hopefully, we'll get him back in with game time under his belt. But let's not accelerate his return for the sake of actually putting him into an injurious situation again.
Yeah, it feels like a weekend that we'll still be, like you said, it's been talked to death. I think we'll probably still be talking it again. I've absolutely no doubt about it next week. Alan Quinlan was just telling us he's a glass half full man in relation to a potential outcome on Sunday. What are you thinking?
Yeah, like, France are definitely the form team, but we all know France can, when they travel, they can just turn up like a completely different team. I know it's such a cliche that we use with them. Again, there was positives from last weekend. I mean, we're down to 14 men for, you know, the majority of the game, and we still are in a position to win it at the end of it, which is a huge positive. I think, like, again, it's back to, are we looking for, at the moment, Six Nations wins or first or second place? Are we looking to build towards World Cup? If we're looking to build towards World Cup, a pretty good performance and against a very strong and informed French team might not be as bad of a thing as it might be seen as, you know, in the run-up in World Cup year, for example, in 2019. So if we were to lose by, you know, get the bonus point within a try, and we're getting a bit more settled, we're getting a bit more of the way Andy Farrell wants the team playing, then I don't think that's necessarily a disaster. So I wouldn't expect to win, but I don't think there should be much in it either, particularly playing at home.
Louise, we can't let you go without asking you about the big sports story in Kerry this week. Your return to the Kerry team confirmed this week, I understand?
Apparently so, yeah. I didn't see anything, but your good producer let me know that it was anyway. Look, obviously having left Sevens and moved back home, and was very lucky to get in the tail end of a successful club career, my club, Finnwig St. Siddons, and we ended up being promoted out of intermediate. So definitely got the buzz back, got the hunger back. And look, I was never going to just step away and not train. So I just had a conversation with the managers around Christmas time, and they invited me back in. Now, it doesn't feel like I'm back in because we're training remotely. We're doing the Zoom calls like everything else. We're doing our training, gym, HIIT, fitness work. But I haven't physically sat in a dressing room with the squad. So I feel like I need to actually tick that box, whether it be after Easter now at this stage, before I really feel like I've returned. But that's the plan for the moment anyway. And just delighted to be given the chance. Bring up the average age of the squad. But
how did that news actually then affect you then this week, the news that there won't be any intercounty training until after Easter at the earliest? Like, I presume you had started to get March the 5th in your head maybe a little bit, and does the training now change a little bit? Does things go out the window a bit when it comes to your own personal pre-season?
Yeah, listen, we're very much led and dictated by the management within the squad. We've our S&C, we've a pretty good setup. So I suppose it's a bit continuous status quo for the moment. I know the squad or the management were waiting to see what the official word was from headquarters, and it seems to be delay again. So look, we had a bit of a deload week anyway this week, and kind of retesting at the weekend of some of our fitness sessions, and we'll plan from there. A bit like anything, you just have to take it day by day. I suppose I've returned full time to the health sector working in Tralee in the hospital, so I can see pretty firsthand the effects of this whole pandemic and how this third wave has really hit us hard. So I'm completely understand A, what's out of my control, and B, that I'm incredibly lucky to be part of any squad and have that kind of feedback of these are the sessions you should be doing, because sometimes when you're training on your own it's actually hard to have the focus. So I'm just glad to have that for the moment. And I think I suppose when I've had that kind of six maybe year break from the squad, either way, whenever we get back in, I'll be itching to actually get onto the field and hopefully blend in with the girls again.
That was one of the things that they did say during the week, the fact that intercounty players just can't be put into a bubble like professional players. Mm-hmm. And I guess you're living proof of that. So many people like yourself working in the health service, working on the front lines, clearly not able to put themselves into a bubble, are very much required in their professional life.
Yeah, and I think we just have to be patient, because last year, in fairness to the GAA, the LGFA, the Camogie Association, they got that, okay, you know, and the leagues got finished for the men. It didn't get finished for the ladies. But they got the championship up and running, and they created a really, really good product for both people, for both the players, and a safe product, but also for people at home to have something to watch and enjoy and look forward to. I suppose the issue now is the whole master plan gets thrown, particularly, well, maybe not thrown out the window, but it has to be looked at again, Owen, because are we going county first, club second? How do the leagues look now? And obviously, everything can be postponed at any stage again. And it looks like the government, as you say, are taking a different view on what level five is and on what elite sports is. But look, I'm someone, I would have played a lot of basketball as well. When I see, like, they were never considered elite sports. They'd professional players flown in, had to fly them out again. It is what it is. But hopefully, like, touch wood, I've been vaccinated. And I know that's being rolled out at the moment. So the more that the population are vaccinated and we can get back to some level of training and playing as normal, fantastic. For the moment, I'm just glad to be part of a squad and being given sessions, and even as, you know, part of a team, because that's something I definitely would have missed when I left the rugby behind.
The transition from the oval ball to the round ball hasn't always gone according to plan, Louise, maybe for Kerry players over the last few years. You've got a decent training partner at home. Have you been trying to get reused to it, and how are you finding all that?
Yeah, it's been tough. I suppose we've had a few. It's handy. We're actually back living in his home neck of the woods, Drunk's home neck of the woods in Cremorne. And so the pitch is right beside us. A few arguments, about why I can't hook kick off my left, but I'm getting plenty of feedback anyway. A good training buddy. But, you know, I told him it's easy, play one sport and focus on that. So we're getting along grand. Yeah, it's challenging. No, but it's brilliant, because you're trying to get the skills back up again. And if, you know, we've one ladies ball, one men's ball, and we're just working off both of them. It's great to have someone to kick the ball back out to you. You know, he's a handy lad to kick the ball back out again.
You could do worse. Louise, pleasure chatting to you. Best of luck with the return, and we'll catch up with you again, hopefully, over the next few weeks.
Cheers. Thanks many, lads.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.